Good morning and welcome to everyone. I hope everyone's having just an outstanding morning. It's a great Lord's Day to be assembled together. I want you to know that I consider it an honor to be standing among you, worshiping God as we're participating in this acts of worship this morning. And I consider it to be a privilege to be standing before you, breaking the bread of life unto you. And I would encourage you at this time to do just that, to grab your Bible, to break open that bread of life, to open your Bibles to Paul's a letter to the Ephesians. We're going to read Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 17. And if you have a pew Bible and you're reading from that this morning, that's page 199 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible. Talk about some very important things this morning. Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave Himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But immorality or impurity or greed must not even be named among you as is proper among the saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk and coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light, or the fruit of the Spirit, consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them, for it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. It has been said by many a person that the main theme of the book of Ephesians is the summing up of all things in Christ. And that's taken from the first chapter of Ephesians and the 10th verse. And that's really an appropriate description of the theme, possibly the main theme of that letter. It's very fitting. We read in chapter 1 and verse 3 that all spiritual blessings are in Christ. And in chapter 2 and verse 14 we read that Christ broke down the barrier between Jews and Gentile, that old law, that old covenant that was done away with. And He brought both Jew and Gentile together, and He did that by His blood, we read in chapter 2 and verse 13. And we read in chapter 4 and verse 16 that the whole body of Christ, which is the church, the whole body is fitted together and it is supplied with everything it needs, and it's nourished by Christ, who is the head of His body, the church. So we can see that, yes, it's very appropriate to consider the theme of this letter as the summing up of all things in Christ. But the theme could just as easily be considered walking instructions or learning how to walk in Christ. Seven times this walking metaphor is used in Paul's letter that he wrote to the Ephesians. Three times right here in this passage we read this morning in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 17. Read verses 15 and 16 again. Therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. This idea of walking is used figuratively here. It represents our behavior. It's how we conduct ourselves, how we live our lives. The apostle tells us, be careful how you walk. The King James Version says, walk circumspectly, because look, it's a dangerous old world that we're walking around in. We need to conduct our lives wisely, because He said the days are evil. Now you can think about the time period in which Paul wrote this letter and to the people he wrote it to. The brethren who lived in Ephesus, they lived in evil days. They lived in a hotbed of idolatry and immorality and greed and just all around loose living. And the days were evil. But I got to ask you, is it really much different than the days that we live in today. Those days were evil, and these days are evil. It's a dangerous world. Walking conditions are hazardous. We just got to be really careful how we walk. There's so many temptations and snares of the devil that are thrown right in our pathway as we're walking. And these things are there, and they can trip us up and cause us to stumble and fall. We're bombarded daily by just a bunch of ungodliness and immorality by the TV and the radio and the things we see and hear, the things we see at the movies, things on billboards, things we hear from our friends, even our family members, our co-workers. We're bombarded by ungodliness on a regular basis. And if we're not careful, we're going to walk right into a snare of the devil, and we're going to get all tangled up in that, and it's going to cause us to fall. If we're not careful how we walk, then we're just going to get in all kinds of trouble. We're going to trip and fall spiritually. At Ford Motor Company, where I work, we have designated walkways. And they're paths that are painted yellow. Yellow pathways with big, giant yellow footprints on these pathways to let us know clearly where we're supposed to be walking for safety's sake. Now, my friend Rodney, who I work with, insists they use my tennis shoes to dip in yellow paint to make those big, giant yellow footprints. Now, you know, I'm not the brightest guy in the world, but I get the impression he's calling me a Bigfoot or something. But anyway, if you stray from the paths that are clearly delineated, the walk paths, you could get severely hurt. You really got to be careful how you walk inside of a big factory like that. There's a lot of dangers there. You could really be injured severely. And I had a friend several years ago who walked out of that pathway and walked into the path of an oncoming forklift. And after that wreck happened, my friend ended up losing his foot. And he has to live with the consequences of that every day of his life. And you know, it really could have even been worse than that. He could have been killed by being run over by this forklift. And the same is true for us. We could really suffer a lot of damage. Thrown in danger's way. A lot of danger physically and spiritually if we wander from the paths of righteousness and we're not careful how we walk. But then the apostle tells us to make the most of our time. Be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. The King James Version says redeeming the time. We need to make the most of our time. Wise people really make their time count for something. Time is one of the most precious commodities that anyone is in possession of. And God has given us all some time, not a lot of time, but He's given us all some time. And look, He's given us all enough time to do what it is He wants us to do with our lives. But the problem is, if we get in the habit of wasting our time, just walking, wandering around aimlessly with no purpose at all in our walk, not walking wisely, then our time seems to slip away from us. And we can get in trouble for that. That can cause a lot of problems for us in our lives. The question's been proposed to older people, and it's been proposed to many people as they've gotten near the end of their lives. If there are questions asked, is there anything that you regret having done in your life or having missed out on in your life? And one of the common responses to that is that a lot of people regret the time they wasted. The time they let slip away and they could have put to better use, more meaningful use, done more purposeful things with that. That's very common because the closer you get to your mortality, the more you realize how precious time is. It's really all you have on this earth to work with. And you need to take good advantage of that time. John Wooden, the great ex-coach of the UCLA basketball teams that won all those championships in the 1960s and the 1970s, he really stressed the importance of no wasted motion when playing a basketball game, because there's only 40 minutes in a game, and you don't want to waste 1 second of that time. All the time is precious, and every second counts. And he would say, one of his catchphrases was to be quick, but don't hurry. You want to be quick and take advantage of the opportunities that are presented to you, but you don't want to run around frantically either, because you're going to waste motion and you're going to waste time that way, and you're not going to get the things done. You want to. Look, if time is that important in a stupid basketball game, how much more important is it in our lives that we live when we think about the eternity that waits on the other side for us? How we use our time. We're going to be judged based on how we use the time that God has given us. We're stewards of that. That's part of our stewardship. God has entrusted us with. He has loaned us a certain amount of time. And we need to be using that wisely. As children of light, we got to take advantage of our opportunities. We need to take the time to live righteous lives and to worship and serve God well and often, and to shine our lights into this dark world that we live in. And we need to be careful how we walk in Christ. We need to step cautiously, but we need to do that purposefully, taking advantage and making the most of our time. And the apostle goes on to say, if we want to walk wisely, to live godly lives, we must understand what the will of the Lord is. He says that in verse 16. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And the only way we're going to be able to pull that off is to spend considerable time walking in His Word. That's the only way we're going to be able to do it, to expose ourselves to His Word, the light of that Word, to read and study that Word, to come to services and Bible studies and listen to sermons as often as we can. We really got to walk in that Word if we're going to ever have any hope of learning what the will of the Lord is for us. And then once we learn it, we got to make sure that we walk according to His will. We got to apply that to our lives. We have to do the things that He wants us to do as we learn them. We have to walk righteously. We have to walk uprightly. We have to walk with integrity, as God tells us He wants us to do in His Word, in His will. And one of the things He tells us as well, verse 1 and 2 of Ephesians chapter 5, is He says, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave Himself up for us. You know, there's just so much hatred in this world that we really need to be careful and make sure that we're walking in love as Christ did. Because if we get all caught up in the ways of the world, we run a serious risk of being influenced by them, by that behavior, and just becoming hateful people ourselves. And that's a dangerous place for a child of God to be, just to be filled with hate. Now, Jesus gave Himself up for other people. He gave His time, He gave of Himself to serve other people. And a child of God needs to mold his walk after his Savior's walk, after his Master's walk. We need to imitate Him. Be imitators of God, we read, as beloved children. Today, in our evil days, it just seems like most people are just out for themselves. They're looking out for number one. They're not interested in loving other people and serving other people and putting other people's interests first, or even on a par with their own interests. It seems like most people are just ready to walk right, instead of walking in love, they're ready to walk right over people to get whatever it is they want, to get wherever it is they need to go. Or drive right over people, if that be the case. Teresa was telling me, she witnessed an accident the other day where a man was so impatient, so much in a hurry to get in another lane, to get around the slow-moving traffic, that he actually ran into the rear end of the vehicle that was in front of him, the lady who was driving that car, smashed her bumper on the corner, and drove around her and sped away just so he was in such a hurry to get where he's going. He didn't care a thing about this person who was driving that car. That's not a very loving thing to do, is it? That, as a matter of fact, it's selfish and it's immoral and it's even illegal to do a thing like that. But that's pretty indicative of the pace at which our world moves and the mindset of a lot of the people in the world. They're in such a hurry that they're going to do anything they can to get where it is they want to go. It doesn't matter how they treat other people in the process. And we really need to be careful that we don't walk that way, that we don't drive that way, that we don't behave that way. A child of God, his walk cannot be marked by hatefulness, thoughtlessness, And Paul goes on to say about it can't be marked by immorality, impurity, and greed. He says that in verse 3. It's not proper for saints to walk that way. He says as well in verse 4, no filthiness, no silly talk, no coarse jesting. Did you catch that? We must be careful that we walk straight, but we also have to make sure that we're talking straight as well. We got to make sure that our talk measures up to the way that we walk. If we're walking one way, professing something about ourselves, about our behavior, about our manner of life, in the way that we walk, in the way that we behave, and we're expressing another side of ourselves by our words, that's a crooked walk. We may be walking right, but if we're talking wrong, that causes us to walk crookedly in a bad way. We can't talk out of both sides of our mouth, as it were. We can't come to the services on the Lord's Day and worship God and praise Him with our voices and open up His Word and read it and just speak those words of beauty that we read in the Bible and then turn around later and speak filthy language and use coarse words and coarse jesting. We can't. James talks about this in James chapter 3 and verse 10. We can't have from the same mouth words of blessing and cursing issuing forth from the same mouth. He said, my brethren, these things ought not to be. Talking foolishly, using coarse jesting. You know what he's talking about there? He's talking about telling dirty jokes. Just using filthiness in our speech. We got to be careful how we talk, as well as how we walk. Because look, the way we talk indicates how we're going to walk as well, or how we're walking. Our talk and our walk have to line up together. And then the apostle tells us how not to walk. He not only tells us how to walk, he tells us how not to walk as well. If you're still in Ephesians, and I would encourage you to keep your finger there in that letter of Ephesians, because that's where we're going to be for the entirety of this lesson. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 19, the apostle wrote, walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart, and they have become callous and have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. Did you catch what he said there? He said, walk no longer this way. In other words, he's saying, don't walk this way. Have you ever come to a crosswalk on a busy road somewhere and the sign said, don't walk, and you went ahead and walked? Have you ever done that? You went ahead and walked across it anyway and it said, don't walk? Now look, you know, we could get away with that most of the time. If there's no traffic coming, you look both ways and you don't see any cars coming, 99% of the time, you can get away with walking across the street without running into any harm or damage. But look, anytime you walk against the warnings that are issued in God's Word, anytime you walk against those warnings, you are exposing yourself to terrible danger. Every time, you're going to get hurt, possibly even killed, if you walk right through those warning signs that say, don't walk. Don't walk, he said, just like the rest of the world, just like the Gentiles, just talk about the worldly people that we live among. That kind of walking is going to get you killed. And he talks about, look, he says they walk in the futility of their mind. That word futility comes from the word depravity. They have depraved minds. And he says, because of the hardness of their heart. That word hardness comes from the word stupid. And it means callous, and it means apathetic, past feeling. He says, look, other people walk this way. The people of the world, the worldly people we live among, they walk like this. But don't you walk that way, child of God. Don't you do that. Don't walk a depraved, darkened, ignorant, stupid, calloused walk. Don't give yourself over to these things, he says. That's what he said. He said they have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. And if we allow ourselves to be given over to those things, God is going to give us up to those things as well. He's going to let us go. He's not going to make us walk a certain way that He wants us to. We have to be careful to not walk, to notice the signs, and to heed those warnings. to be careful how we walk and to avoid walking in ways that are dangerous for us. And the inspired writer, he also tells us of how we used to walk. We used to walk like that, just like the rest of the world. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. He talks about the way we used to walk when we were in the world before we came to Christ, those of us who are Christians. And that's what we're talking about this morning, the way we should walk, those of us who are in Christ. This is about walking in Christ. Before we came to Christ, we read this, Ephesians 2, 1 through 5. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived. That's how we walked. In the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He has for us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. There was a time before we came to Christ that we were dead men walking. We were actually dead because of the sins that we regularly committed, that we were caught up in. When we walked, he said, according to the course of the world. We just followed the same path that everybody else, every other sinful person in this world, followed. We walked the way of the world. We were following Satan. He said we were following the prince of the power of the air. Just like every other worldly person is following Satan. And we used to habitually throw ourselves into harm's path, whether it be from lying or cheating or fornicating or drinking alcohol, whatever, any kind of sinful thing that we were caught up in, worldly thing like that. And it says, we became the children of wrath because of that. We exposed ourselves to God's wrath. And the wrath of the consequences that go along with that as well. And look, some of us did it intentionally, and some of us did it ignorantly, but there's no excuse whatsoever to be ignorant now. No reason whatsoever for ignorance, because the warnings are all here for us. We used to walk that way. Don't walk that way anymore. That causes you to incur God's wrath. That makes God very displeased with us when we walk that way. And we, you know, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 3 tells us as well, we've already wasted enough of our time walking that way, haven't we? He says, isn't the time already past sufficient to have pursued that course of life? You know, we talk about making the most of our time, how wise people do that. Haven't we wasted enough time walking according to the course of the world, just like the other Gentiles or the worldly people of the world? And we read in Romans chapter 6, verse 21, what benefit were you then deriving from the things which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of these things is death. These are things that should bring us shame now to even think about how we used to walk and how we used to waste our time. That's the old self. That's the old person that we buried in the waters of baptism. We killed that guy, that girl, and we started walking a different path and assumed a different life and a different name, the name of Christ, at that time. Well, in chapter 5 and verses 8 through 10, we read some similar words there about our former walk. We read them earlier. We'll read it again. Ephesians 5, 8 through 10. It says, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the light, or the fruit of the Spirit, consists of all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. We used to walk around, the apostle says, in darkness, just in the dark of night, just groping as we went, just like the rest of the sinful world does. But he says, now, in Christ, we're children of the light. We're all about light and goodness and righteousness now, or we should be. And he says, we're not to participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness. He says it's inappropriate and unsafe to walk that way. It's not safe to walk in the darkness. And he said in verse 14, he told the sleepers to wake up out of your slumber, because you're walking in an unsafe way. Some people walk in their sleep. You ever know of anyone who sleepwalk? Yeah, I see some people nodding their heads. That's pretty crazy, isn't it? Just to think you could just get up and do some ordinary mundane things in life while you're actually asleep. But let me ask you, can a sleepwalker be careful how he walks? Of course he can. He's asleep. He's probably dreaming as he's doing the things that he's doing. I want to read to you some things I pulled off the internet. Some things that some people actually did while they were sleepwalking. This man named Robert Wood was a 55-year-old chef, and he got up 4 or 5 times a week while asleep, and he would go to the kitchen and cook. Can you see the potential for problems there? Cooking while you're sleeping? While you're asleep? You can see some potential for danger. You could burn the house down, right? You could burn yourself. Or what about this one? In 2005, a sleepwalker was caught by his wife mowing the lawn at 2 a.m. naked. Now let me ask you, do you think that's a careful walk? Because I'm thinking that's not a very safe thing to do. I wouldn't advise that to anyone, even at 2 in the morning when it's dark outside. In May of 2009, a sleepwalking teenager stepped out of her bedroom window and plunged 25 feet to the ground. It was amazing she wasn't killed or even severely hurt. I guess the fact that she was asleep and didn't brace herself must have kept her from breaking any bones or seriously damaging herself. And this one is tragic. In 2009, in January, a Wisconsin man sleepwalked out of his house wearing only his underwear and a fleece shirt, and his body was found the next morning near his home. And the temperatures were 16 degrees below zero, and he died from hypothermia. Can you see how dangerous it is to walk in your sleep? We have to be careful. We're not sleepwalking spiritually through this world. We really do. We really need to wake up to the danger that we're confronted with on a daily basis when we're walking through this world. And that's what Paul's issuing to us here. This is a wake-up call. He said, wake up, sleepers. We can't participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness and get away with it. It's not pleasing to God. We can't do that and have any hope of heaven when this life is over. I really fear that there's a disconnect in the minds of a lot of people when it comes to participating in these unfruitful deeds and watching them or listening to them. I think somehow we can separate the two. I can watch people doing these things on TV or in the movies, or I can listen to these things on the radio, and somehow it's okay to do that because I'm not actually participating in those things. Is that not participating? If you're enjoying other people's sinful activities, aren't you participating in that as well? I don't see how it can be any other way than that. You know, the old statement is that you're guilty by association. And sometimes that you don't earn that guilt by association, but I think this time you do. If you're willingly and willfully associating with the sinfulness of this world, willingly allowing yourself to be influenced by it, then yes, you're guilty by association. And the people that we hang around, sometimes we'll hang around people who just get heavily involved in sinful things, and we might justify it by saying, well, you know, I'm not doing that. I'm with them, but I'm not doing that myself. You're guilty by association. You're kind of aiding and abetting there. You're encouraging that kind of behavior. And listen, even if you're not doing those things, don't be naive enough to think those things do not influence you, make an impression upon you. Because this is the Word of God. The inspired writer wrote in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. You can't keep company with a bunch of people performing a bunch of immorality and not have it influence you. And look, I don't care whether it's actual people that you're right next to that you can reach out and touch, or it's the people you spend your time with on the TV, your favorite sitcom, whatever the case may be. If you're keeping company with immorality, it's going to corrupt you. And it's going to defile your walk in Christ. And it's going to cause you to miss heaven forever. The path we're walking on, those of us who are walking in Christ, leads to heaven. And if we deviate from that path, we're not going to end up where we want to end up. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8 says, walk as children of light. We've already read it twice. We are the light of the world. Are we not, brothers and sisters in Christ? We are the light of the world. We have to walk as children of light. We illuminate the darkness of this world. We should. He said it's not good to participate in that. As a matter of fact, he said we should even expose the unfruitful works or the unfruitful deeds of darkness. We need to expose sin and error for what it is. And not just so we can say, look at me, how high and mighty I am, and look at you, how sinful you are, you lowly sinner. That's not why the reason why we want to do that. Sometimes people don't know that what they are doing is sinful. Sometimes people don't know that. And we need to expose it for them. You think about the Apostle Paul. Before he became the Apostle Paul, when he was Saul, he was a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor. He said that of himself in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. But he did that in ignorance. He didn't know what he was doing was sinful. And Christ literally shone the light on him that day in Damascus when he blinded him with that light. And he revealed to him the sinful walk that he was pursuing. And we need to do that for people. We need to bring the lost people the light of the gospel. We need to shine the light on them of the gospel. We need to urge the sleepers to wake up and arise from the dead. Time is precious. Eternity is forever. People are lost. We don't have much time. You've got to wake people up. That's our assignment. That's our responsibility as children of the light. And I would encourage all of us to do that with patience because light is blinding for people who walk in the darkness for a long time. Have you ever done that? Have you ever got up in the middle of the night and turned on the light after you've been in the darkness for several hours? That really hurts, doesn't it? You can't see anything. The light actually blinds you. So when we're trying to expose sinfulness in the lives of people who have spent their nearly whole lives in the dark, in sinfulness, then we need to use patience when we do that as well. So to summarize things, we need to walk carefully. And part of walking carefully is making the most of our time and understanding what the will of God is, spending time in His Word. And to not walk like we used to before we came to Christ and like the rest of the sinful world. And to wake up. Really just wake up to the dangers that we're exposed to every day when we're walking in this world. Finding enjoyment in the sinful walk of other people is participating in their sinfulness. And we need to be careful that we don't do that. We need to walk as children of the light. Well, you can go ahead and pick up your songbook. We're going to sing number 606 in just a moment to encourage you to obey the gospel this very morning. If you haven't done that yet, if you haven't begun your walk in Christ, so thankful for your presence here today and your attentiveness to the things that have been spoken this morning. One more passage of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. This is how we should be walking in Christ. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Isn't that a beautiful walk? It's a lovely walk, a patient, loving, unifying walk. He sums it up, Paul does, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, as simply saying, walk in good works. That's what we've been called to do, to walk in good words. Works, to walk with God. That was said of two people I know of in the Bible. It said of Enoch in Genesis chapter 5 that he walked with God and God took him. And it said of Noah in Noah chapter 6, or in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9. It called Noah a righteous man and that he walked with God. Can you think of anything better that could be said of anyone of us than to say that we walk with God? That's what we should be focused on doing. Maybe you're a Christian this morning who has decided to walk a foolish, dangerous, unsafe path. We encourage you to repent and turn back to the ways of righteousness and to get back on that safe path. Walk in a manner worthy of your calling. If you haven't begun your walk in Christ this morning, we encourage you to be baptized into Christ and start that walk this very moment. Don't waste another moment of your life. Any moment spent outside of Jesus Christ is wasted time. people. It's wasted life. Make the most of your time. Redeem it. We'll baptize you into Christ this morning, and your life will be worth living, and that walk will be worth walking from that point on. We encourage you to come forward and do that as we're standing and singing.